Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Wednesday. Hey, hey, hump day. Thanks for spending it with Ray and Tay today. I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
Hey everybody, this is Tay, Eric Taylor, and wow, kind of feel a little emotional, Ray. We're losing a soldier and a warrior. We'll get into it, but you want to join us on the ride of 2013 with Ray and Tay at 718-664-9098. We'll get to some of your emails today, so thank you for, you know, continuing to email us and check us out. That's RAEANDTAY today at gmail.com, as well as, you know, the Twitter and the Facebook. We try to keep you guys abreast and updated with, you know, different sports information, little tidbits, some scores. You know, we mix it up a little bit of everything, me and Ray, you know. So, and check us out on iTunes, the podcast. You can go back and, you know, I was sharing it on Facebook with people, but I, you know, put back on our first show with the NFL preview, 9-4, and even 10-29 when we had Anthony Donahue in our NBA preview. So go back and, you know, listen to Ray and Tay's picks and have fun with us, man. So, Ray, man, let them know our breaking news.
Well, let me tell you. This
or
is
what we're doing on the
show,
I should say.
13. I'll tell you what we're doing, and then we'll jump right in. Tay got emotional today. We got a retirement coming.
I'm not even
up.
A Raven fan.
Well, but you're a football fan.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Just you can't not be a fan of this guy and respect his work. But he'll get his time. We'll give him some time. So we got breaking news, as we always do. We bring you the hottest, latest, and greatest in what's going on in the sports world. We'll talk about some of these college bowl games. We had the big January 1st, all that college bowl mania, although this year seemed a bit muted compared to prior years. Hopefully it'll pick up with the game tonight, and then obviously there's the national championship game on the 7th. We'll take our normal trip around the NBA, talk about what's going on, who's young, who's old, who's frustrated, who's played too many games, played in the Olympics and is tired. And then at the end, we'll do a little quick teaser for the NFL. Obviously, we've got a huge weekend with the playoffs coming up on Saturday and Sunday. We got the three rookie quarterbacks playing on Sunday. So big week in NFL. We'll get into a lot of that on Friday, of course. But, yeah, breaking news, Tay. Break it down. Stacey Manley and all the boys are going to be upset.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I know Jake down in Baltimore. There's a lot of cats that are Raven fans. But all I have to say is, like Deion Sanders says, Sugar Ray Lewis. He's missed, what, since the Cowboy game, he's been out with that tear. He will return for the game against the Colts in the playoffs. You know, this year he didn't have a great season. He only had one sack, one forced fumble, one fumble recovery. You know, he didn't have any interceptions. But let me tell you something, and only 44 tackles. We're talking about arguably not only the greatest leader of men probably ever on defense, but this guy has made about 9 different guys head coaches, from Marvin Lewis to Rex Ryan to Chuck Pavano, and so on and so on. Yeah. You know, and John Harbaugh,
Nolan,
who's now the over there, Nolan, yeah. And to me, Ray Lewis might be the best, you know, not talking about LT, best inside linebacker, best middle linebacker ever. One of the most interesting stats, though, I could say about him, he's the only member of the 40-30 club. 41 career sacks, 41 and a half, and 31 career interceptions at the linebacker position. That's incredible, Ray. That's incredible to me. I'm like, I can't even fathom.
And you don't even think of him as having great ball skills. I mean, you think of him as hitting and playing the run, but 31 interceptions, that's pretty amazing. And considering his partner in crime, Ed Reed, has – I think he has 63. I mean, together they have that's a lot of interceptions.
It's a lot. And 3 touchdowns. But you know, I mean, he's just he just could be the GOAT. You know, it's no disrespect to Butkus and different guys, but man, I got to tell you, he's, I mean, from Miami, from the U on up, and he, you know, that Raven team, the 2000 team, the defense, they gave up the least amount of points in NFL history. I mean, in terms of scoring, it's the best defense ever. And they were dominant. I mean, do you remember that season? They were just like, and it's Ray.
Not only do I remember that season, but if you remember the details in 2000, they were jockeying between Rice and Dilfer and at quarterback. And I forget the number. And Jamal Lewis, of course, was carrying that offense, running the ball. But they went to the Super Bowl. And remember, in the Super Bowl, the Giants got lucky to score a touchdown. They scored it on special teams. They had a kickoff return on special teams. If I recall correctly, the final score, I think it was 35-7. Was it 35 or 41-7? I think it was 35-7. I'll look that up right now. But they were able to hold the Giants to a kickoff return, and that was the Giants' only score. But more impressively than that, and this is where the leader of men comes in, is that they had a stretch when they were going between Rice and Dilfer. Remember Rice from Michigan State? They had a stretch. I forgot how many. It was like 8 or 9 quarters where they didn't score an offensive touchdown.
It was amazing
that a team like that in the middle of the season that couldn't score and was having QB controversies, the steady positive influence was that defense. And granted, it wasn't just Ray Lewis, right? They had Siragusa in the front line, and then they had some little bit of a pass rush, and then they had Ray Lewis, and then they had obviously your boy Woodson at the end of his career, and they had other players. But Ray Lewis was the heart and soul of that team. And that defense.
And he was dominant then. Ray was dominant. Now, the last couple of years, you could say Ray might have lost a step, but he was so much there mentally, right, and emotionally the last 2 or 3 years, where whatever he lost in speed, he was there mentally. I mean, Ray could call out plays. Think about how they went to New England 2 years ago and beat the Patriots when the Patriots were the number one seed, you know. And last year in the championship, I mean, basically they outplayed him and beat him if it wasn't for the drop by Lee Evans and the missed field goal.
34-7, by the way. That was the final. Yeah. 34-7 was the Ravens and the Giants. And, of course, Ravens.
And you remember that's also when they got that, what was it? Was it that holding call or that? What was the play? I think the Ravens had picked it off and ran it in for a touchdown, but it was like a holding. It was something that happened that really messed the Giants up, though, in the beginning. But either way, the Ravens were they dominated the Giants. I mean, that's not even...
Here's an argument. Let me know what you think about this. If you were to say to me, who's the best defensive player of all time, I would say that's Lawrence Taylor. And that would mean, obviously, that he's the best linebacker of all time. But there's an argument to be made that Ray Lewis could be the best defensive player of all time because of two things. A, his play on the field, obviously. You got to be on the field in order to lead men. So Tebow can't be a great leader if he's not on the field.
Two-time defensive player of the year, 12
two-time
Pro Bowls.
Right, 2000 and 2003. But here's the thing. He made people around him better. He wasn't as good as Lawrence Taylor, and he didn't impact the game like Lawrence Taylor did. But what he did do is he impacted the other 10 guys on his defensive unit, and I would argue he even impacted the guys on offense. So you could argue that his influence and his span of influence was more than just the linebackers, you know, the secondary, and the defensive end. It was the whole team. So in that
he was more dominant for a whole game. Right? Lawrence was more dominant for, like, let's say third downs. And not that Lawrence didn't stop the run, because he did, but Lawrence was, you know, that was more Leonard Marshall and Jim Burton, those guys, but and Carl Banks and Carson, if you want to be honest.
And Harry Carson.
LT, LT was more third downs and getting the sacks and deflecting and hurries and stopping the offense and passing and quarterbacks. Ray Lewis, I mean, just those stats right there of 41.5 sacks and 31 interceptions, that tells you all you need to know. No one else has done that. That's dominating every play, man.
this guy was unbelievable. Yeah, we'll talk more about him during the week.
Yeah, kudos to him. I mean, if this is his, some people are saying like he might change his mind. This is to, you know, sort of pep up his team that needs a pep, that he'll, you know, play, and maybe afterwards he'll rethink it and, you know, so they can get over the Colts and make this last run. Who knows what's going to happen, but in 5 years from now, if this is it, he is numero uno going to Canton, Ohio. You know, so another breaking news. Yeah. This is kind of comedy. That, you know, I hate to even talk about them, but the NHL is going back and forth, and it looks like Wednesday they're going to have like a big meeting to see if they're going to, you know, really pound out and accept the last deal that's been going around with them in the negotiations. And you know, hey, I don't love hockey anymore, but I hope they get, you know, salvage some part of the season, right?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Second time you're canceling a season in 8 years. I mean, that should happen once in a history of a league. I mean, you should think that they should avoid that at all costs. But yeah, did you hear also the governor of Pennsylvania is suing the NCAA over the Penn State sanctions, saying essentially that the NCAA, not only did they go too far, but they weren't even in the right to have, you know, jurisdiction over the penalties that they imposed on Penn State, that this was essentially a criminal matter, and they overstepped their bounds and had that $60 million penalty and eventually it's going to cost the university maybe even more than that because, you know, recruiting.
I don't know if they're going to win that case, so I got to tell you. I think they're going to lose and take an L on that one.
I think that's
really
a little political grandstanding by the governor. But
yeah, well, listen, he's trying to help save the school and the program, but you know what? They should have thought about that when they had all the information and thought about those kids. So, you know.
Sad news. Donald Sterling's son was found dead, 32 years old. Apparent drug overdose in his Malibu home. So that's terrible. Hate to see that happen. Happened to Andy Reid earlier this year or last year, I guess. Just terrible.
It's very sad. So our condolences to the Clipper family and Donald Sterling. Also, you know, it's interesting. Andy Reid, he, you know, met with the Chiefs and meeting with the Cardinals today. So, you know, all that stuff is heating up. And it's getting really interesting on the coaching front. And, you know, we can definitely talk about where you think some of these coaches is looking like. And also, the Atlanta Falcons, they took their guy Cutter off the market, the offensive coordinator. They signed him to extension through 2014. And I think that was smart, you know. You don't want to lose your star. You know, Matt Ryan and him are got something going. That offense is incredible. So that's a good job by the Atlanta Falcons for you know, signing him up. And the Cardinals did interview Ray Horton, their defensive coordinator. So we'll see what happens, man. I mean,
I tell you who's running the show here is Andy Reid. I mean, he's got supposedly he even has his guys lined up. So he's just thinking, all right, sign me on the dotted line. I mean, he met with the Chiefs and the Cards already, and apparently. Mm-hmm. Offers will come in tomorrow, a little negotiating. I mean, this could be done by the end of the week. He could be the coach.
I think they're going to move fast. I will think it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, obviously, Oregon, Kansas State is Thursday, right? I think that's Thursday or Friday. So we'll see what happens with that because of Chip Kelly, and then we'll see what happens after Monday with Saban. Those two could play a picture in the NFL coaching front. So, we'll definitely see, man, what's going to happen. I got to tell you, man, just a quick little note. I saw some of the out here, you know, the Fiesta Bowl, Kansas and Oregon State, and we're going to talk about the College Bowls, but I got to say it's heating up because I saw driving around today down at the Science Museum downtown Phoenix, a lot of Kansas and a lot of Kansas State and a lot of Oregon fans. I saw the cars, the stickers, some of the, you know, fans, the uniform jerseys. So people are in town, and
people just want to get the good weather. They want to get out of there. If you're in Kansas,
oh, it's
you're
a perfect
Manhattan,
vacation,
Kansas,
right? But I got to be honest with you, Ray. If we're talking, and you know, let's just jump into it, talking about the College Bowls. if I'm honest, because you and I like Michigan, I watched the Michigan-South Carolina game, great game. But really, the only ones I care about, I do want to see Johnny, you know, football, Johnny Manziel. So that's going to be
Friday
interesting.
Yep.
Texas A&M, and Oklahoma, right, and Landry, you know, potential NFL players on the field. And then I want to see Kansas State and Oregon. And then I want to see the championship. Louisville, Florida tonight, I can't get excited about that.
You're not feeling that one?
No. And remember,
Louisville's the 21st ranked team in the country. So it's not as if you're playing 3 versus 4. You're playing 3 versus 21, and that's part of the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah.
It's
a mess because you remember when we were growing up. Let me tell you something. New Year's Day, we made sure we watched all the games. And you know you loved watching. CBS had a Cotton Bowl. The Gator Bowl was on NBC. You know, ABC always had the Sugar, sometimes the Fiesta. You know, you were going to watch the Rose Bowl. I mean, the Orange Bowl was classic on NBC. You know, these games were, I mean, sometimes you knew who the championship was going to be, but depending on the game. But, I mean, it was magical, and there was something about it. And I don't know now, is it watered down because there's like 50 million bowl games? Like the military and this and that, but January 1st, I shouldn't see Purdue on my TV on January 1st. And no offense,
listeners in West Lafayette, Indiana.
Nah, nah, nah.
Are you trying to alienate?
Nah, I'm not alienating. I'm keeping it real. Even Purdue fans would admit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, some of these games, they're not that exciting.
Well, but what kind of climax is it when it used to be that January 1st was the big, you know, the big day. So you had all those bowl games. Like you said, you used to have the Orange, the Sugar, the Cotton, the Rose, some combination of them, and you had the Parade of Roses out in L.A. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And your boy Josh Elliott and Hannah Storm held it down for ABC. But they're two ex-Sports Center folks, so I don't have any problem with that. They're sports people doing that. But the thing that kills me, so not only everything you said 100% agreed with, but not only that, but let me read to you the last 5 bowl games, right? So tonight or tomorrow night, so we talked about it, the fact that we've got tonight, you got a 3 versus 21. This is January 2nd, and we've got a 3 versus a 21. A 21-ranked team, Louisville, shouldn't be playing in January, like you said.
And that didn't even happen 5 years ago.
Louisville, right? Okay. So let's say we get over that. So we get 4 versus 5, love it. Oregon, Kansas State, fantastic. Thursday at 8:30. Then on Friday, we've got a 9th-ranked Texas A&M. Now, they do have a Heisman Trophy winner, so that's makes that game salvageable, versus the 11th-ranked Oklahoma Sooner. So, okay, a little bit of an anticlimax when you got 4 and 5 the night before. You got 9 and 11 on Friday. But then on Saturday, you got Pitt versus Mississippi. What? And then on on Sunday, you've got Kent State versus Arkansas State? What? What is that?
And that's the BBVA Compass Bowl.
Where is their compass when they scheduled this for January 6th?
Six and six.
Have 1 versus 2 in the championship game. So not only do you have too many bowls, you don't have a natural climax on the first, and then you got these two ridiculous bowls on Saturday and Sunday. Unbelievable. Unacceptable.
Yeah. The only thing you can say that's halfway decent about the game tonight is that at least Louisville is 10-2. And Florida is 11-1. I mean, no knock on Wisconsin, and I'm glad Stanford won. Wisconsin had 5 losses. You know, you can't get so excited about the Rose Bowl when Wisconsin's got 5 losses. That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's really a lot. Bowl games, especially New Year's Day and then going beyond, it was for teams that had 0-1 or maybe 2 losses. That was it. That was it, man. So, you know, I don't know. The one thing I'll say, listen, shout out to shout out to Georgia. They represented the SEC and they won. And Murray, they were down and then they scored like 22 in a row. Murray, five touchdown passes. Now this is
I told you, Aaron Murray can play, man. He's
well,
he's
he going to come out? Is he going to come out? Right, and is he, you know, projected? No, I forget projected. There, some people are projecting Geno Smith number one pick to the Chiefs, and I'm like, oh yeah, don't do that. But to me, is he better than Barkley and Geno Smith and the kid from NC State?
Well,
who looked horrible against
year.
Vanderbilt, by the way.
It's a weak year for quarterbacks. So, and you know, there's a rush to draft quarterbacks in the first round, especially now that Russell Wilson, obviously you got Luck and RG3, but you had Russell Wilson, Whedon,
Tannehill.
All of these guys started
doing so
and
well.
Played and did fairly well. Obviously Russell
Even
Wilson,
Cousins.
Best of those three.
Cousins came in and looked
Cousins
like a like a top 15 pick.
No, you're absolutely
right. He really
right.
did.
You're absolutely
really
right.
Did.
So should Murray come out, the business decision should be probably to come out, especially because you're going to get drafted in probably in the first half of that first round. So why
yeah,
not?
I mean, you can't
now,
tell me that the Bills or Jets shouldn't take a chance on him.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about the Jets.
I'm just saying. They both draft, like, I think it's like 8 and 9, and the Cardinals are in that mix too. These three teams, they shouldn't take a chance. Now, look, there's, you know, all this hype. If the Cardinals are getting excited about getting Andy Reid, that maybe he could restore Kevin Cobb's career and life and that offense. I'm just like, I've seen this movie before. Like, don't do it. Don't drink the do not drink the Kool-Aid. I don't know. Do you think Andy Reid could turn around Cobb, that the Cardinals don't need to draft a quarterback?
You know what? As much as I hate to say it, I'd rather have Kevin. This may not be popular in Arizona, so next time, you know, you leave the house, hopefully you won't get egged and beaten down by my statements, because, you know, I don't want Ray to jeopardize.
Listen, I'll be like, yo, that was Ray, yo.
So I would
throw
argue
you under the bus.
I would argue that don't take a quarterback in, especially not in the first round, if you don't think
they need offensive line.
He's legit. So I would not be that upset with this crop of quarterbacks. Not last year where you had some serious talent at quarterbacks, but I wouldn't be upset with this crop of quarterbacks if they went with Kevin Cobb or Skelton. And Kevin Cobb, and look, he only played that one game or one and a half games where he did really well, but Andy Reid had him in practice. Andy Reid played with the guy. Andy Reid has seen the best and the worst, at least in practice, of Kevin Cobb. So if Andy Reid is, in fact, the head coach.
Well, he drafted him, yeah.
He drafted him. He hinted that he could be the heir apparent to Donovan McNabb, and then there was that transition to Michael Vick. But maybe you build talent around him, and then maybe a year or two down the road you go sign a Matt Schaub, you know, like the maybe not exactly Matt Schaub, right? Because the Texans will keep him, but a free agent quarterback, or you go find somebody out there to draft. But in this crop of quarterbacks, I'm not sure. I mean, none of these guys project to be great quarterbacks. I mean, Matt Barkley, I don't love him. I mean, a lot of mock drafts have Matt Barkley going right there at number 7 to, you know, to the Cardinals. But
yeah, I was surprised to see Geno Smith as the number 1 pick in a mock draft.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah,
oh,
I
did.
Some people have
Bleacher
him going.
Report.
Some people say he's
see,
going
this is
to
interesting.
Philly.
Now you were. You remember early in the season, I'm not going to lie, I loved Geno Smith in West Virginia because of how they were playing. But then I started to see he got real turnover happy. And, you know, I guess, you know, maybe that's coaching. I mean, look, the one thing I will say, he's got the tools, he's got the talent, and he was throwing it around, flinging it to Austin and Bailey, those receivers at West Virginia. So maybe you can do stuff with Geno Smith. He's mobile. He definitely can make the throws, right? So maybe he's better than people think, you know? And maybe Murray is too. Look, these guys can move. They're kind of athletic, you know? I don't know. Hey, I don't know if you caught any of this, but, man, Florida State, who got the W, they were 12, you know, wound up 12-2 representing the ACC, and they beat Northern Illinois, you know, representing the MAC, 12-2. It was 17-10 for a hot minute.
That.
And then it just, Florida State defense, they stopped them, and then they got avalanched 31-10. But this is, you know, it's not a knock on the MAC, but they were 8-0 in the MAC, and this was kind of a down year in the MAC. I don't know if they really deserve, you know, I guess the rankings, they had them in the top 15, so that put them in a place where they could get to a BCS game. But I don't know. You wouldn't have rather seen Florida State play Georgia or?
Probably.
I don't know,
probably.
So,
but here's
you know,
the thing. At least I don't have a problem with new blood. Right, it's especially on a down year, it's this recycling of these teams, and it's somewhat of a down year. So I didn't have a problem with the new blood breaking in there. I would have loved to.
I'm happy for them.
Do a little bit better, you know, have a little better performance for themselves, because I did see that it was 17-10, and then boom.
Well, look, let's just say if you switch these two games, right? I mean, Nebraska, they weren't, you know, they lost to Wisconsin, but they weren't a great team this year. You know, I mean, yeah, they went 7-1 in the Big Ten, but they, you know, wound up 10-4, and they were 10-3 going into the game. I could have had them play Northern Illinois, and I would have loved to have seen Florida State and Georgia. Number one, you got, you know, some of that little border rivalry going on, but at the same time, those are two, like, mammoth teams this year who both had, you know, could sniff the number one spot at a time and were, you know, in top five contention all year and would have been a heck of a matchup of the ACC and the SEC, you know? Florida State, Georgia, that's a bowl game you could get excited about,
that's
you
true.
Know?
That's true. And did you see your boy Jadeveon Clowney in South Carolina?
Woo!
That hit that he put on the – he actually was
– Yeah,
was
I'm sorry, though.
The whole game.
The name. The JV – what – the Jadeveon Clowney? My wife was like, what is that?
Jadeveon. But, by the way,
yeah,
he's okay. Coming back, and he's got to be top five.
Oh, he's the number one pick for next year projected.
He might just
he's,
be the
he's
number
a
one
monster.
Pick. And he's going to be top, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 for the Heisman Trophy along with Marquise Lee. So you've got two guys coming back. And by the way, you have the defending Heisman Trophy winner who's only a redshirt sophomore. You know, he's a redshirt freshman this year. He'll be a redshirt sophomore next year. So you've got Johnny Manziel, Marquise Lee, and Jadeveon Clowney all coming back.
Oh, college football is great. But see, and this is so funny, Ray, right? As bad as we could talk about this bowl situation and you know, they're going to get a plus one in a couple years and not having the playoffs like in the March Madness – the one thing that's good about college football, they got to stay at least 3 years. So you watch Clowney develop. You watch Manziel develop. You watch, you know, all 4 years of Teo. I mean, that's what's good about college football. And in a way, I hate to say it, makes
killing
it a real
basketball.
NFL minor league, right?
Right, but it's killing college basketball.
Well, they should probably make college basketball, you got to stay at least 2 or 3 years. Or go straight to the, you know, NBDL, you know, develop the, you know, the D-League.
Why does Cap, you know, nobody gives them credit, but baseball might have the best formula. Now, it doesn't work for me in terms of people's rights. You should have the right to enter the league whenever you want. But in terms of a structure that works the best for the sport, not so much for
the
kids,
health of the
sport.
Yeah,
for the health of the sport is you want to come in after your high school graduation or your class graduates from high school. Hopefully you do too. Hopefully you're not getting a GED. But hopefully you're actually getting a real diploma. You want to come after high school, let's go. If you don't, you got to wait 3 years. That's how baseball works. And essentially football is the same way, except you can't go after high school. But that's the best formula so far for people who are sort of in between. Now, in the NBA, that would have deprived us of LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Carmelo Anthony.
Amari.
So, you know, Amari Stoudemire. So the problem is in basketball, you can be farther along and be more developed, and you don't have to physically
Each sport is different in terms of the athlete's developmental needs and requirements, right? You're not man enough at 19 to play in the NFL. You're just not. Now, maybe LeBron would have been, or this kid Clowney would be. But for the most part, most of these guys that are offensive linemen, they need 3 years to get into their body. Even if they're big, they need to get that strength to make it in the NFL, you know? So I don't know. It's one of those things. I gotta say one thing was interesting. Clemson getting that W, 25-24 over LSU. But your boy, man, your boy Les Miles, his play calling sometimes and clock management and stuff is a mess. I don't know. Maybe, you know.
It's funny. Les Miles reminds me a little bit of Terrell Owens in the sense that T.O. is an elite receiver but doesn't have great hands. Les Miles is considered an elite coach, but he makes some really elementary decisions that I just don't agree with. Some of his clock management throughout the years.
Ridiculous.
And maybe it's that grass that he eats. Maybe, you know, maybe the grass is a little spiked or something because his head isn't right sometimes. Some of the decision-making, wow, you think to yourself, this is an elite coach and an elite program? So, I mean, he can certainly recruit and he can coach and he can do all of this, but some of his mistakes are just glaring. It was good to see Taj Boyd and
Sammy Watkins.
Well, it wasn't even Watkins; it was the other receiver. I mean, they
well, no,
they
the other kid. Listen,
catches. Yeah,
right. No, but I like Sammy though because he's the one. Even though the other receiver is going to be an NFL player, Sammy Watkins is going to be a stud. And let me tell you, you know, and I'm sorry that Michigan lost. And, you know, shout out to Spurrier for getting another bowl game win. He was like, I never won one of these. You know, Spurrier's hilarious. But that kid Sanders, who's the kickoff and punt returner and the slot receiver, he is going to be playing on Sundays from South Carolina. He's a beast. Sanders got busy for South Carolina, and that was a good game. But wait, I got to shout out the Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx, baby, in the snow. Watching that game made me miss New York, wishing I was in the snow. Syracuse won. They're 8-5, and they, you know, beat West Virginia 7-6. They spanked them, Ray, 38-14. Syracuse, that was a big win for them in the Big East, you know?
You know I don't have love for Syracuse anymore because they're leaving the Big East. That still
well,
hurts.
Hey, at least they beat a team that left the Big East, you know, left the Big East a long
one
time ago.
One Big East deserter to another Big East deserter.
I know, right? It's but it's weird. West Virginia, the Big 12, like, you know, I don't know. You're right. It's a sad day. The fact that you know, college football has made all these teams leave, and it's just, you know, and then out here at where my ASU guys play, we had out here in Tempe, we had Michigan State battle TCU, and that was actually a pretty good game. They won 17-16, so that was a good win for the Big Ten. Michigan State,
well,
they talked all that smack.
Big Ten teams because they.
I know, but remember they talked all that smack in the beginning of the year. They wound up 7-6, Ray.
Oh, where they were dissing Robinson and Michigan.
Yeah. And you know, it was kind of sad to see Michigan lose and Denard Robinson walk off the field. You know, the last couple of games, Gardner was starting and Robinson's been playing. You know, slot receiver, running back, sort of a slash. I think Denard Robinson, he makes the NFL. It's probably going to be as like a little. Scat
is he
back,
Eric Metcalf?
Back.
He's like a little scat back.
Listen, you know what he is? If nothing else, he's definitely a special teams player, but he could be your third down back, and maybe you do some trick plays with him. Because the guy has got Olympic speed, and to throw it back to the old days of Eric Taylor, he's got Olympic jig moves. You know he's got the jig
what?
Moves, baby.
I don't even
want to
hear it.
You don't want to see him in Central Park.
I don't even want to hear it. Can he be, I mean, what is he, Antoine Randle L? Does he become a receiver? Does he become a running back? I don't know if he could take hits that the running backs take.
I think he's a Dave Meggett. So I really think he can come in on third downs maybe. Maybe he's a change of pace, second down. Like, you know, you get him a couple of carries here and there. Maybe he only carries it 8 times a game, but and maybe he gets some screen pass. I just think he needs the ball in his hands.
Or is he Brad Smith?
Because,
maybe he even plays quarterback two, three touches a game.
I don't know. I think he's an NFL player. That's the only thing I do know.
Okay.
That speed and that talent. He's definitely got the talent.
All right, Denard, if you need some representation, we got you. We got you, Denard.
Yeah. We will have the Ray and Tay agency open up for sports management, you know what I'm saying?
Pull us up.
Start hooking these guys up, you know, set up a little program. We gotta set up a program. So let's take it to the hoops, man. Let's talk about Amari Stoudemire coming back to the NBA. Welcome back. Even D. Rose is going to start traveling with the team, you know. So it's good to see these guys come back. Everybody, you know, all NBA fans, no matter who your team is, you want to see everybody fully loaded. You're glad Nowitzki's back and, you know, he's still getting it together. You want to see D. Rose, Shumpert, Amari. You know, you want to see all these guys. So, and the Knicks, I think the Knicks need a little pick-me-up. They lost to Portland to my man Damian Lillard, who got busy, right? But the Knicks are 21-10. So I think, you know, still being in first place, they need, you know, look, if the playoffs ended today, the Celtics would be out of the playoffs at 14-16.
That's pretty crazy. I do think the Knicks are coming back to the pack, and I don't think that absolutely crazy start that they had is sustainable, again, because of the threes and the defense and the age of the team and integrating Amari. They got more questions coming up in the second half. But obviously the surprise is at the bottom of the conference, like you said. Philly at 15-17, Boston at 14-16, wow, and Brooklyn and the seventh place team right now, 16-15. So, you know, Atlanta, Indiana, Chicago, and Milwaukee are 3, 4, 5, and 6, and those three teams are overachieving. And then
and
Brooklyn,
how about Indiana without Granger?
Underachieving, yeah, absolutely.
That's what's so impressive. I mean, they're, you know, tied for first. They're really, you know, mathematically in first place at 18-13 in the Central. This is without Granger. And they started off really bad, and they pulled it together. They had a big win the other night. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies at home. The Pacers are playing basketball, man.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And the bottom of the – I tell you what, though, the bottom of the East is just dreadful. Washington, Cleveland, Charlotte,
Orlando,
Detroit. Orlando's actually, believe it or not, Glenn Davis turned out to be a little player. He's carrying that team. I got him on my fantasy team, but that's besides the point.
Right.
He's actually, for a team that needs talent, I thought they'd be one of the worst teams in the league. They're actually
That
are worse.
A follow's a good player, J.J. Redick.
Yeah, they've got Jameer Nelson.
They got talent.
Yeah, they got a little bit of talent. But, yeah, I told you that this Charlotte team has nothing. But Washington, Cleveland, Charlotte, Detroit – Those
I think Cleveland is
terrible.
Better. I think it's been the lineup fluctuation of the injuries. But what's interesting is, I don't know if you've been hearing this, that they might move Varejao, you know, and wind up drafting big, because they'll be in the lottery again. Maybe they draft, let's say they're in the, you know, top pick or something. They go get Cody Zeller and have the Zellers. Can you imagine them having the Zellers in their front court, Cody and my man?
Indiana has the Hands Bros, so Cleveland could have the Zellers. Why not? It's a family affair.
No, you're right. The bottom of the East is bad, but we definitely know Cleveland has some talent. I like Waiters.
Yeah, Cleveland at least has some talent.
Kyrie,
I hate
CJ Miles.
Detroit, I don't know, Greg Monroe and Knight and an aging Tayshaun Prince. And Jonas Jerebko, I'm not really Drummond, if he turns out to be a player, maybe, but he had some trouble. He was a little bit of a head case at Connecticut, and he was driving Calhoun crazy up there, so I'm not sure about that. But let's transition to the West, where Clippers had won 17 in a row before losing to the Nuggets.
Hey,
you know, the Nuggets,
they got the best record in basketball, right? 25-7, that is beyond impressive. Well, actually, no, 24-6.
They're Oklahoma City has the best record, 24-6.
Yeah, 24-6. You know, that's incredible. Think about that. Six losses.
And everybody thought, they traded James Harden, they're going to take a step back. No.
Well, I think that kind of shows you, though, how even superstars can get better. Because you could argue, right, after the Olympics and everything, Durant and Westbrook, they're better. I think they've added to their games. Westbrook is doing a little bit more because he has to. Durant is rebounding and doing a little bit more because he has to.
And Harden has, too, to his credit, right?
Oh, no. It's not knocking Harden. I'm just saying those two stars have stepped up. Actually, I think if they had Harden this year, whoa, I mean, they might not have any losses, you know? The Olympics
need their big men to play big. Absolutely. I still think that the key to them is going to be their big men playing big, and they're going to have to score a little bit, and they're going to have to balance it out because Russell Westbrook is a high shot, high volume, low percentage shooter, and if you can make him shoot jumpers, then you got a chance because he'll shoot them right out of a playoff game. But that team, Oklahoma City, has gotten to the point where I think they're in that league with Miami, Oklahoma City, to some degree, San Antonio. Those three teams can't wait for the regular season to be over, each for different reasons, right? San Antonio is just old, and Oklahoma City is like, look, we're ready. We lost in five in the finals. We're ready. We don't need, you know, we don't need this regular season. And Miami also, they're just about championships. Everybody else really needs the regular season to get it together, right? The Clippers, the Lakers, even Memphis, who's a great team. Golden State's coming into their own. The Knicks are kind of coming into their own. Atlanta, Indiana, Chicago needs to wait for D. Rose to get back. So all those teams need the regular season to kind of develop identity and get themselves ready for the playoffs. But Miami, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio, they're ready. Just start the playoffs right now.
Let me ask you this, right? This is going to be a dogfight and a battle for the 7th and 8th spot in the West. It's going to be pretty interesting to see Portland, Minnesota, probably even the Lakers, and Houston battle for those last spots. That's going to be, man.
We both predicted Utah and Dallas to be in the mix in terms of the playoffs. So Dallas with Nowitzki back, and Utah, right, if they can go on a streak and win 10 out of 12, 10 out of 14, they'd be right back in the middle of that 7th, 8th spot. So
yeah, but you know what it is with Utah? They play better at home, but on the road, man. And they kind of seem like they're up and down. Like, you know, the 15-17. They got to climb up out of their own little division. Because Minnesota's playing decent, and you know, if they ever could get our boy Brandon Roy back, who had a setback, which was kind of sad. But now Portland is you know, legitimately getting some big wins. That wasn't an easy win during the holidays for Portland to fly out and beat the Knicks at home. You know, that's a good, solid victory. So to me, and Denver, it seems like Denver might turn the corner, right? 18-15, it looks like Gallinari is getting himself together. Chandler should be back. Denver is a team that JaVale
McGee hit threes. Did you see JaVale hit his three?
don't sleep on JaVale now. Those sleepers prevail. I'm most impressed. I got to say, so far, you know, most teams have played, you know, about 31, 32, you know, games or so. I'm kind of really impressed with Golden State, man. Mark Jackson, the depth of that team, that shooting backcourt, And they're doing this without Bogut. So when Bogut comes, I believe they're only going to get better. I mean, shout out to Festus Ezeli, man. He's holding it down for them, playing some good center for them. You know?
Yeah, who would have thought? You take Monte Ellis off that team, and you get really nothing out of Bogut, and they're still a good-looking team, 21-10 in that brutal Western Conference. That's pretty impressive.
Well, you know, our boy is playing good.
Barnes,
Harrison Barnes, man. Harrison's got a lot of, you know, a little solid game going for him, man. Him and Klay Thompson and Curry, that's a nice little 1-2-3. And
David
Lee, Lee's an all-star.
Underrated David Lee. I still think he's underrated. You know, you look
he
up
is.
And he just gets it done.
Yeah.
We got to give Isaiah Thomas credit. He drafted him at the end of the first round, the last pick in the first round to the New York Knicks out of the University of Florida, David Lee. We looked at each other like, really? David Lee is a first-round pick?
You know what's so funny? You could put a nice little team together, cats that Isaiah picked, you know? You could definitely put together some cats, you know, over the years. Whether it's Stoudemire or Camby or, you know, different cats. Damon Stoudemire, for those who don't know, not Amari.
Yeah.
So this is the one thing I wanted to ask you, because it hurt me to see the Knicks lose that game to Sacramento. They, you know, bounced back. They were down 27, came all the way back and lost. But who? Now, Detroit and Boston said they have interest. But where would you trade DeMarcus Cousins too? Because I think they don't want to let him
Sacramento,
go, but I think they have
anywhere.
To.
So the question is, who's going to take him, right? Because Sacramento.
Well, there's teams that want him. People want him now. Don't sleep.
Okay, but I'm saying from Sacramento's perspective, they just want to get rid of him. He's just a knucklehead, and he can't. Somehow they can't get the best out of him. I'm not saying he doesn't have the talent to be a star in this league. Not even a good player, a star.
But I think they're divided. That's the problem, right? Some people there in the organization do not want to get rid of him. They see the talent, and they're like, yo, we got to find a way to fix it.
That talent is intoxicating.
Yeah.
But
Heat.
Who could use DeMarcus Cousins? A team that's got veteran leadership and that could slap him around a little bit. So, and that obviously needs a big man who can score. Now, who's that? Everybody. The Celtics could use a DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Imagine him under Garnett's wing.
The San Antonio Spurs could use a DeMarcus Cousins. The Oklahoma City Thunder could use a DeMarcus Cousins. The Houston, our boys, from Houston, the Rockets could use a DeMarcus Cousins. I'm just talking about playoff teams.
Could I give you Ibaka?
Oof, I'm not giving up Ibaka, but all right, let me listen.
Wait, can I give you Ibaka? Perkins. And the young draft pick. Percy Jones III. Who hasn't really played that much. Can I give you those three and a second round pick for Tyreek and DeMarcus?
No. Because I don't know. I don't want two head cases in return. I'll take one. I don't want two.
Can I give you Ibaka and Percy for DeMarcus? I guess with DeMarcus, where do you feel more comfortable with him, at the five or at the four?
I think
in this day and age of the NBA, to me, he's the five now.
He could get away with it at the five. He could get away
with
it at
the five. Yeah, I think he's
the five. But you'd need a special type of four, though, right? Because I need a shot blocker, and giving up on Ibaka, a young shot blocker, is hard for me. It's hard for me to give up a young shot blocker. And if I'm the Thunder, I hope that Percy Jones develops, and I hope that you can squeeze a little bit more out of the juice that is Kendrick Perkins, and you can get that Perkins, Ibaka, and Jones, and maybe a little bit of Nick Collison. In this day and age, when there's no Olajuwons and there's no Ewings and there's no Shaqs, you could probably get away with that. And especially you could get away with it if you end up facing the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference. You know what I mean? So you don't need necessarily in this NBA, there's only one Dwight Howard, and his team isn't playing very well. So
and neither
other
is
than
he.
The Lakers, what's that?
And neither is he.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still
injured.
I'm not killing Dwight. He's still.
No, no, but
I'm
saying other than the Lakers, there's really nobody maybe in the league, but even in the West. I guess Memphis has a front court that might give Oklahoma City some trouble.
Oh, yeah. I think Memphis can give anybody trouble.
But other than that, I don't know that I trade a young shot blocker. They're so hard to come by. I can't get rid of Ibaka, especially not for a guy that's got questions like DeMarcus Cousins.
No.
Because you're 24-6 now without him.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, the team is – listen, if I'm Oklahoma City, you did what you had to do. I'd leave it alone for a while and just see, because I think Kevin Martin – you know, he can get your buckets, so I think the team is set. They've got – everybody's got – you know what I like about OKC and the Clippers? Everybody has their role, and they know their role. And I think the Knicks have had that, but now with Amari and then sort of after a little bit of time, Shumpert coming back in, that's the biggest key to the Knicks team. Woody is going to have to keep these roles defined, and I think it's going to be hard. I think the Knicks will still do well, but I think it's going to be harder to define the roles. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, we're talking basketball, and we've been neglecting our emailers. So let's get to one email here. This is apropos basketball. So we got James from Edgewater, New Jersey. So shout out to James. Thanks for emailing us.
James.
He's got a quick question. I like these. Straight and to the point. Are the Clippers the best team in the NBA? So, you know, it's a legitimate question. They won 17 in a row.
No, it's very legit. You know, they just won 17 in a row. They've got probably the best point guard in the NBA. They've got, you know, an athletic young front court, a bench that's only going to get better once Grant Hill's healthy, and Barnes has been playing good. He's, you know, he's not in the triangle anymore. It's more free-flowing, the basketball. Crawford, sixth man of the year. I'd say almost. I'd say no, it's OKC. Because OKC and then Miami, the two of them have got to be knocked down a peg. And that doesn't happen in the regular season. The Clippers, we got to see who the Clippers are in the playoffs.
So you what know? Do you think the Clippers need to do to prepare for the playoffs?
Well,
what
I got
to
tell you, I think the Clippers are
going to
– I think they miss Reggie Evans. And I actually think the bench of Odom and Barnes and you got Ronnie Turioff, I think that's where you drop off. I don't think they have enough size in their bench. So when you take out Jordan and Griffin, you're basically saying my two biggest guys after that are Turioff and Odom. I need one more guy in that spot. Because they're so loaded in the backside, right? They've got in the backcourt – Bledsoe, Willie Green, Crawford, Billups, you know, Paul, all those combinations. And then, you know, Caron Butler and Barnes and Grant Hill, so you're loaded. But I need one more thug, and I don't think it's the young kid Tompkins. I don't think that's going to work out with that.
Right.
So the Clippers.
Right, hold on, we got a caller. Let's see if we can get this caller in.
Yes, sir.
We got a caller. Maybe we'll talk NBA, NFL. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, I didn't realize I was on here. Hello, pleasure to meet you, gentlemen. My name is Ray from Cleveland.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Hey.
I am doing 787% fantastic now that I'm listening to your show program.
All right, Ray.
So what'd you like
awesome.
To talk about, man? Welcome to Ray and Tay.
Well, Ray and Tay, it's a pleasure to meet you, two fine gentlemen. And you know what? I'm a big bumpkey ball. I love the orange. I love defense. I love the basketball in general. Now, here is what my question is to you fine two gentlemen. We are 25 games or 30 games into this new basketball season in which we have 80. I was kind of wondering who you think some busts are, people who they thought would be fantastic. Like, we gave them a boatload of money. Like, obviously, the biggest example here has to be Roy Hibbert. who's averaging like 10 points and maybe 7 rebounds. It has to be by far, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, the softest big man in the NBA. So I was kind of wondering what you guys think about that. What, I mean, obviously, Jeremy Lin is sitting on the bench. Meanwhile, he's wiping his buttocks with an $8 million paycheck. So what, or, you know, Amari Stoudemire.
Bust. Okay. All right. Well, let me take a shot at this. It's a good question, right? Especially if you're a GM, you're thinking I'm operating within a salary cap, so I need to make the most of my money.
By the way, I hate to interrupt you real quick. When you guys are on commercial break, I'd actually like to. You guys take commercial breaks on the show, right?
Well,
against the clock. The show's about to end, but yes, we do take some breaks.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Talk to me off the air, one of you. I have an opportunity for you guys.
Well, Shoot us an email at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com.
All right. Well, let me hear your answer. One of you can't talk to me off the air? Come on, man. This is a big deal. I hate to bring it on you with the last few minutes of the show, but.
Okay. Well, let's see. We get the number, Ray. You can write down the number.
Yeah, I got the number down.
We'll give you a call
right after the show.
Yeah, definitely. Real quick, Hibbert, I think, is still solid for the money. No, he's not worth it, but this is the landscape of the NBA, unfortunately, where salaries, you know, you get bloated for how you, you know, play one season and the talent, and you can't let go a defensive center like Hibbert, you know? So they had to match that contract.
Well, Portland paid their hand on that one.
Yeah, and Lin just, you know, he took advantage of the Knicks in that season, and he was smart, and Houston had him, and now they're like, wow, look at the marketing and then look at the somewhat ability. I got to get him back. And, you know, listen, Houston's winning. They're above 500. It's mainly James Harden, but Lin's a part of it, and he can only improve, right? I don't think Lin is going to get worse. I feel like he'll get better because he was never a true point guard. He played the shooting guard at Harvard, so he's still learning the position. And Harden helps handle the ball, so I think, you know, him – and, you know, there's other guys in the NBA with some contract that you're just like, oh, really? Like, you know.
Chris Humphreys, 2 years, $23 million.
Humphreys. Some people thought Humphreys, you know, would be an all-star this year. Shout out to my man Ricky Rivers, our friend who was on the show. Ricky thought Humphreys might be an all-star. Humphreys is still trying to get the divorce money from Kim Kardashian, so he's not going to be an all-star.
I do believe you mean Mr. Kardashian.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know. But I got to say, I felt bad about people ripping him because the last two seasons, he was a very, very good lunch pail, working your butt hard, power forward in the NBA. It's just this year, maybe the fame of, you know, Brooklyn and this and that has really messed him up. And the Nets, you know, that whole team is falling apart. Maybe PJ will fix it. We'll see. You know, but they need to try to call Phil Jackson and give him whatever he wants if they want to really fix that. But, you know, that's the NBA.
Who's
but
your favorite team, Ray? Who's your favorite team?
I live in Cleveland. Take a wild guess. I live in Cleveland. You know, there's the Cavaliers, and then there's the Cavaliers. So,
would you trade Barish out, or do you want to keep him?
Trade him. Absolutely trade him. You realize that dude's basically been paid $8 million to sit on these bench the last few years. I would love to see us get some kind of compensation back. Obviously, he's had a phenomenal year, but he's also done something that his butt likes to do a lot, and it's sit on the bench. And because of that...
Yeah, do you like Deion Waiters? Do you like Waiters with Kyrie?
The great sixth man out of Syracuse, yes, absolutely. The dude who never started a game, but was worthy enough to be selected number four overall. I still think
I will say this, Ray, you got to say this. He's played pretty well, and Kyrie, to me, is easily top six point guards right now, and with D-Rose hurt, in the top five point guards in the NBA. Kyrie is a beast. So we got to Ray, we'll give you a call off the air. Thanks for calling us. We got to get ready to wrap up the show. So, Ray, keep calling, keep listening. We really appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for calling in.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it, Ray. Thanks.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So, yeah, man.
Well, look,
listen,
if you're
another
a Cleveland
great show.
Fan, just final thought on that. It's something to be something to look forward to is Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But you know what? Listen, Friday's a big show. Everybody check us out. We'll be back 6 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to heavy NFL show. And have some fun with these playoff games. Maybe some coaches will get hired, and we will definitely talk about the national championship and, you know, and Kansas State and Oregon and all that coming up even on Monday. But have a great Wednesday. Watch some games.
Welcome to 2013, ringing the new year with Ray and Tay today.
Yeah, take care. Thanks for talking sports with friends. Peace.
Forever and ever. I got a hip-hop heart and a hip-hop soul.